nearly seven oil plants in Egypt, with calls for action from wealthier nations to address the impacts of climate change. British nurses voting for the first time to strike over pay amid a wave of industrial actions gripping the UK in recent months. Violence in the US just as a countdown to midterm elections begins. Welcome. The UN Climate Summit COP27 is opened in Egypt amid growing calls for rich countries to compensate poorer nations that are most vulnerable to climate change. Delegates from some 200 countries are in attendance at the event in Sharm el-Sheikh. This year, the summit will be focusing on four areas of the climate crisis that are mitigation, adaptation, finance, and collaboration. Last month, UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres said that the world was facing a catastrophe, and that after a UN report warned of a global warming of 2.8 degrees Celsius by the end of the 21st century. Campaigners say not enough progress has been made since the COP26 summit in Scotland last year. That event resulted in the Glasgow Pact, which committed signatory nations to lower their carbon emissions. This year's summit will run through 18th of November. The UK is bracing for a fresh wave of strikes as nurses vote for the first national action over a pay dispute. More than 300,000 members of the Royal College of Nursing have taken part in the strike ballot, the biggest in the union's 106-year history. Reports show an experienced nurse's salary has fallen by 20% in real term since 2010. According to the RCN, the government is exploiting the goodwill and expertise of nursing staff. The industrial action is set to take place within a few weeks. It's likely to disrupt operations and appointments, even as patients are already facing record waiting lists. Organizers say, however, that the action has the support of patients. The UK is struggling with a cost of living crisis. It's seen a wave of walkouts across various industries in recent months. Well, staying with the UK, where public discontent with the government's lingering, thousands from across the country descended upon London over the weekend to protest the worsening cost of living crisis and to demand a general election. Saeed Puruza was there and sent us this report.
Unaffordable rents, choosing between meals and heating, and tears when the bills arrive. Some of the issues that have drawn thousands from across England to the capital on this rainy day.
Concerned about the future, they're protesting against what they see as years of government inaction. It's led to a deepening cost of living crisis, a squeeze on people's finances, and pushed public services to the brink.
Organized by the People's Assembly, they've named the demo Britain is Broken, a name that captures the country's multiple crises.
We're going backwards. You know, we've got hungry children. We've got old people living in like freezing cold flats, and it's terrible.
I think the reason for the massive inflation is all the money that they printed throughout COVID. 600 billion was printed through COVID, most of which ended up in the hands of rich people.
The government blames the emergency at home and the crises abroad, such as the war in Ukraine and global energy price hikes. The protesters here say it's all the result of more than a decade of conservative rule and that the time for change has come.
I want to see a general election. I don't feel like the Tory party should be able to just put people into power, and especially because they're just keeping, inequality, the hostile environment. They're still putting cuts into our NHS and all our social services. So I just feel they don't really have a democratic mandate to do that. And I think it's important that the country has the right to choose who's in charge, not just the Tory party.
There's no democratic argument, despite the law, to say that we've had three prime ministers in the space of 3 months, in less than a quarter of a year, none of whom can offer any real solution to the problems we've got right now. And there's no excuse for that.
The mass demonstration comes only days after the Bank of England increased interest rates yet again to control double-digit inflation. The new Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak, is announcing his economic plan later this month, expected to include increased taxes and cuts to public spending, meaning the outlook for ordinary Britons looks gloomier than it is now. Saeed Pariza, London.
A UK official says that the government is facing significant and difficult decisions on taxes and spending in an effort to plug a budget shortfall. Cabinet Office Minister Oliver Dowden has told British media that the government will announce key decisions in its autumn statement. He added that the efforts will be made to protect the most vulnerable people. He did not comment on likely measures. Prime Minister Rishi Sunak and Finance Minister Jeremy Hunt will set up plans to cover a shortfall of over $45 billion for the first budget program on the 17th of November. Officials say that all measures are being considered, such as an extension to a windfall tax on energy companies. Now, in other news, Kiev accusing Moscow of using Iran-made drones in the war in Ukraine. Iran has rejected the allegation and blames the West for preventing Ukraine from discussing the issue with Tehran.
We agreed with the foreign minister of Ukraine for them to provide us with any evidence that Russia has been using Iranian drones in Ukraine. We had an agreement with Ukraine 2 weeks ago to be held in a European nation. Our political delegation was sent to the country, but unfortunately in the final moments, the Ukrainian side did not show up. The reason was the United States and some European nations, especially Germany, had told Ukraine you want to drink coffee with the Iranians in a European nation while we're trying to impose sanctions due to drones.
Amir Abdullahian made comments in an address to reporters in the Iranian capital. He rejected claims that his country has provided Russia with missiles in the Ukraine conflict. He, however, said that Iran has provided Moscow with a small number of drones, but months before the war. The top diplomat noted that Iran will not remain indifferent on the matter if it's proved that Russia has used those drones in the Ukraine war. His comments drew reaction from Ukraine, with President Volodymyr Zelensky accusing Tehran of lying.
The official Iranian representatives have released a statement today. They have decided to admit that they did supply drones for Russian terror, but they were lying in this recognition as well. We are shooting down at least 10 Iranian drones daily, while the Iranian regime claims that it allegedly provided few of them before the start of the full-scale invasion. Only during one day yesterday, 11 Shaheds were destroyed.
Zelensky accused Iran of teaching the Russian military personnel how to use those drones, adding that Moscow pays Tehran for that cooperation. In recent weeks, Ukraine has reported a surge in drone attacks on civilian infrastructure, notably targeting power stations and dams using Iran-made drones. And that's why Russia has denied its forces have used those drones to attack Ukraine. The Iranian Defense Ministry has unveiled an upgraded Bavar 373 long-range missile system. It's also launched its Sayyad B-4 missile production line. Salman Kujuri reports.
Has unveiled the Bavar 373 missile system with a range of over 300 kilometers. Moreover, the Sayyad B-4 defense missile production line was also inaugurated on Sunday in a ceremony attended by Iran's Defense Minister, Brigadier General Mohammad Reza Ashtiani. During the test fire, a stationary target was detected at a range of more than 450 kilometers by the optimized radar of the missile system and was tracked at the range of about 405 kilometers and was hit at the range of more than 300 kilometers.
Bavar 373 missile system has successfully hit targets at the range of 305 kilometers. This missile system has been designed to counter long-range targets, ballistic missiles, warplanes, and bombers. Even many technologically advanced countries aspire to have such a high-tech missile system.
The long-range missile has solid fuel and was evaluated during operation for the first time. The detection radar range of the Bavar 373 system has increased from 350 to 450 kilometers, and its engagement radar range has increased from 260 to 400 kilometers.
The missile system has been totally produced and upgraded by Iranian specialists at the Defense Ministry and the Army of the Islamic Republic of Iran. We have been able to upgrade the range of this missile in only 2 years. This shows that we can counter all kinds of threats by using domestically made defensive equipment. As much as the threats advance, the Bavar 373 system and other air defense systems advance ahead of their current threats.
The system's missile range has increased from 200 to 300 kilometers, and its engagement height has increased from 27 to 32 kilometers. In the past couple of years, Iran has reached self-sufficiency in manufacturing different types of missiles to boost its defensive capabilities with the aim of protecting its territorial integrity and national sovereignty. Saman Kujuri, Tehran.
U.S. President Joe Biden and his predecessors, Democrat Barack Obama and Republican Donald Trump, are sounding the alarm over threats to American democracy. This while a countdown to the congressional midterm elections just started. The three men converged on Pennsylvania Saturday to push their parties to the finishing line. Biden said that the race marks a defining moment for U.S. democracy. Obama echoed his warning, saying that the stakes are high as democracy is on the ballot. At the same time, Obama attacked Republicans for becoming increasingly averse to anything from science to respect for rules. Trump blamed Biden for turning the country into a police state. Americans will be going to the polls on Tuesday to decide who will control Congress during the final 2 years of the Biden administration. This, as a vast majority of American people fear, the country will go through a period of political violence.
Shortly before their midterm legislative elections, a stunning new poll shows that 9 out of 10 Americans are afraid of politically motivated violence. The blame is apportioned in almost equal thirds. Democrats blame Republicans, Republican respondents hold Democrats responsible, and another third says both parties are equally responsible.
Neither party is actually putting forward any platform for actual unity across race, gender, class, etc., religion, and you know it's a necessary outcome of just the decades of politicization, and really the political moment that we're in right now, where you know there's a fascist movement in this country.
There have been 10 times the number of threats against members of Congress than there were just 5 years ago. The arrival of the corrosive Donald Trump and the seemingly equally corrosive repression of his supporters has revealed a national political culture plagued by self-righteousness, anger, and violence. An extensive recent survey found that nearly a third of Americans believe that political violence is usually or always justified.
So I think the violence already is happening. I think it's a question of, you know, as we get closer to 2024, that violence is going to get turned up a dial. So I think it's really, it's sad, unfortunate, it's terrible, but I think it's a consequence of, you know, what the ruling class has actually, you know, fomented.
The poll was taken shortly after the in-home attack on the husband of the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi. Many are shocked that the nation's vast and armed-to-the-teeth security services couldn't adequately protect the home of the nation's number three post. The incident continues to be the subject of salacious allegations, which have been exacerbated by the Pelosi's refusal to release their home security footage, as well as the refusal of local police to release their own body camera footage. The suppression of news reports on the incident has further inflamed public opinion. Polls repeatedly show that Nancy Pelosi has the lowest approval ratings of any prominent member of Congress. Pelosi's have been recently accused of insider trading, and the extremely wealthy family is often criticized for flaunting their affluence. Rami Mazahari, Chicago.
A U.S. media report has revealed that the Washington establishment and social media are working together to censor what they refer to as online misinformation. The report that's based on leaked documents from the Department of Homeland Security says that the companies are working with the government to censor news on social media that allegedly threaten U.S. interests. That has raised concerns among civil rights activists.
The United States is under fire for its efforts to influence cyberspace in the country. That's according to a controversial report by The Intercept, which is based on leaked internal memos, emails and documents of the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. The work is primarily done by Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, which is a DHS sub-agency tasked with protecting critical national infrastructure. The report says the U.S. government has pressured social media platforms to, quote, shape online discourse. The platforms include Twitter and Facebook. The department has justified this pressure on social media platforms by claiming that it wants to fight, quote, disinformation. The plan stemmed from concerns around alleged Russian influence in the 2016 presidential election. It also began to take shape during the 2020 election and over efforts to shape discussions around vaccine policy during the coronavirus pandemic. But how disinformation is defined by the government has not been clearly articulated. There are now concerns that the inherently subjective nature of what could be classified as disinformation will give officials in the Department of Homeland Security a broad opening to make politically motivated determinations about what constitutes dangerous speech. This is while critics say the extent to which the DHS initiatives affect Americans' daily social feeds is unclear.
We must rethink our approach to cybersecurity. Releasing alerts, deploying incident response teams, sharing best practices are important tools. But as the pace and scale of cyber threats that we face expands, so must our response toolkit. We need sustained investment to modernize and protect our most critical federal systems, as well as state and local governments, suffering under budget constraints and increasingly aggressive ransomware operators.
And with that, we'll come to the end of this broadcast from Tehran.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
From India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession. I'm 20 years old, and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of law,
Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners of Listeners Special, and welcome to this edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, November 6, 2022, with me, Atefe Erfani. Listeners Special is a Sunday program where your views is presented through emails, letters, and messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. And if you have any message for our listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Please do remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. So please don't go away and keep us company until the end of the program. As usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. For your information, these reception reports are very helpful to us, especially to our engineers and technicians. So please send us these reception reports, because these reception reports heighten the quality of our programs. And here we do send our warm and great appreciations to those of our great listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Matej Kurpel from India, Krister Brandstorm from Sweden, and Eddie Vitanto from the Philippines. Thank you for your support and commitment to your radio, IRIB English Radio, and here we do send our warm gratitudes to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us emails and letters from around the world, which I mentioned some of their names here. And later during the program, I will read these emails. Mohammad Khaku, one of our old and regular listeners, has sent us an email. Avinash Premarch from India has sent us a piece of email. And here we've received an email from Bangladesh from MD Abdul Mutin. And Arild Skalmros from Norway has sent us an email. Stay with us, please. I will be back with these great emails. Welcome back. Thank you very much for being with us. Mohammad Khaku from the US, one of our old and regular listeners, has sent us an email, such a long email. Let's see what Mohammad says. Iran is a very normal country with lots of tourist attractions. However, the mainstream media has portrayed Iran in a very negative way due to the Zionist political agenda. Iran is the second largest nation by land size in West Asia. As you might imagine, it is a nation of diverse ethnicity, which are often negatively portrayed by the media. Iran has unique ancient historical sites, with one of the world's oldest civilizations dating back to early Bronze Age, 7000 BC. Iran is the center of civilization, with the existence of various ethnic groups, alongside the rich culture, which has made Iranian cuisine the best, with delicious desserts such as halva and sohan. Iran has one of the lowest cost of tourism and most affordable tourist destination, according to World Economic Forum, WEF. Iran ranks first in hospitality. Iran also offers best physicians with inexpensive surgeries and dental services. Iran is also the country of the greatest poets like Ferdowsi, Nizami, Rumi, Saadi, and Hafiz. You will find the mausoleums and books everywhere while our guides were fluent in the poetry of these poets, and occasionally they would recite and translate to us. We visited five cities from Mashhad to Isfahan and saw streets full of happy and joyful people. We saw thousands of tourists shopping in the bazaars and malls. Iran has a traffic problem, but good public transport of railways and subways. We also saw many business women owning hotels, guest houses, and restaurants. We saw women at hotels working as receptionists at museums, at airports, and driving at high speed in Tehran. Talking to few academicians, women are highly educated. Iran has some of the best universities in the world. It's only through seeing Iran, through my own eyes, that I know the stereotypes are not true. Traveling to Iran, I saw some of the richest architecture and oldest culture anywhere in the world. Wow! such a great thing. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you, Mohammad Khaku from the US. And please accept our warm appreciations to you for sending us this email. It was long, but it was very informative for those of our listeners who haven't traveled to Iran and just heard about Iran through the media, which is dominated by Zionists and the Western regimes. As you said, Iran is a vast, beautiful country, rich in natural resources, human resources, young generation, working, located in a strategic area in the heartland in West Asia region. And as you may know, before the victory of the Islamic Revolution, this country was invaded by barbaric regimes many times, especially Western regimes. But fortunately, after the victory of the Islamic Revolution in 1979, when this country got free and independent, and the hands of Western regimes were curtailed, so these regimes got angry and outrageous, especially after they see great achievements in Iran in different fields, including technological, military, scientific fields, and the progress of Iranian women after the Islamic Revolution in 1979. So the Western regimes got angry and they try to portray Iran in a negative way days and nights in their media. So, much to the chagrin of these Western regimes, Iran is going to get more powerful, stronger in many fields so rapidly. Anyway, Mohammad Khaku from the U.S., many thanks for reflecting your thoughtful views and great views about Iran and political issues. It was great. It's an honor to have you with us. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. My colleagues will soon send you an EQSL as verification. And from India, we've received an email from Avinash Primarj. I wish I'm pronouncing your name, Avinash. So Avinash says, warm greetings from India. I am pleased to report the reception of your English transmissions, A Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on shortwave. I am working in UAE and I will be shortly at my home in India for a vacation. I hope that you'd find this report of some use. If found correct, kindly verify these with your QSL card or an EQSL. Please send the QSL to my address in India, as I will be in India for the next 2 months or so. Salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the Islamic Republic of Iran. And many thanks for sending this email to us. It's good, you know, I mean, you be in your country again in India. It's great. A good voyage. My colleagues will soon send you an EQSL as verification. Avinash, write to us soon and tell us your views about our broadcast. And let's see, yes, from Bangladesh, we've received an email from Andy Abdul-Mateen. Let's see what he says. I am a new listener of IRIB English Service. Your programs are very informative, and I really enjoy listening to them. I have a request, and that is you kindly send me an edition of Holy Quran, if possible. MD Abdul-Mateen from Bangladesh, salam, and warm greetings to you. Thank you very much for sending this message to us. We are so happy to have received you, and we are so happy that the signals of our radio are received in your country, in Bangladesh. So let this mutual relationship continue with you and us, IRIB English Radio, and you in Bangladesh. It's an honor to have you with us, but regarding your request about sending an edition of the Noble Quran, I'm afraid sending any material on behalf of IRIB English Radio to our great listeners around the world is not possible in the time of pandemic. After the pandemic, I mean, after this disease is controlled around the world, then we can send you the materials, including an edition of the Noble Quran to you, MD Abdul-Mateen from Bangladesh. Anyway, thank you very much for sending this email to your favorite radio, IRIB English Radio. And we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. But for the time being, please accept our electronic QSL card as verification. Wish you all the best. And the last but not the least is an email from Aril Diskalmeras from Norway. Aril says, I am an avid radio enthusiast, enjoying both listening to and catching the signals of radio stations from other parts of the world on medium and shortwave. I can receive the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on several frequencies on shortwave. I have been listening to foreign radio station on short and medium wave for many years. Nowadays, I can, of course, listen to many radio stations from around the world on internet with excellent quality, but I still enjoy listening to short and medium wave radio. Thanks for your consideration, and I look forward to hearing from you again. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you, Ariel Diskalmeras from Norway, and please accept our gratitude to you for this email. So, you have been listening to foreign radio stations on short wave and medium waves, which is very interesting. I do agree with you. I mean, the traditional way of listening to radio, which most people like, and good to listen that you have several frequencies on short wave. So, Ariel Diskalmeras from Norway, thank you again. We are looking forward to hearing from you and listening to your views about IRIB English Radio programs, and please accept our EQSL as verification. And before wrapping up this edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, November 6, 2022, I do send my warm appreciations and gratitudes to those of our great listeners who kindly sent us reception reports as well as emails and letters from around the world, including Eddie Witanto from the Philippines, Matej Kurpal from India, Christer Brandstorm from Sweden, MD Abdul Mutin from Bangladesh, Muhammad Khaku from the US, Avinash Primraj from India, and Arild Skalmras from Norway. Please be in touch with us and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pastoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Once again, our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pastodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatihi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the program For Humanity. We were looking at the concept of greed in the previous episodes and how it destroys mankind and makes them kill one another, take the rights of one another, oppress one another, create mischief and havoc on earth, and all these bad results that comes out of greed. And we said, how do we, me and you, how do we protect ourselves not to fall victims to greed? And we said there are a number of things. One is to think and contemplate correctly, think about death. And today we want to talk about something else as well. There are two types of people. The people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honors, and there are people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala humiliates and, you know, looks down to. Which one I and you want to be is a choice that I and you have to make. No one can make it for us. Not even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it for you. Because if He does, then what's the point of you being here? Allah has given us free choice to be either among those who He honors or those whom He humiliates. The choice is mine and yours. Stingy people are the bunch of people that are humiliated in the sight of Allah and in the sight of people in this world and will be punished in the hereafter. The believers, the generous, giving believers, those are the ones that are honored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says in the Quran, إِلَّا الْمُصَلِّينَ, except for those who pray. الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَاتِهِمْ دَعْمُونَ, those who are constantly praying. وَالَّذِينَ فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌ مَعْلُومٌ, those whom out of their salary, out of their money, out of their wealth, they have a portion dedicated to whom? لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ, to those who asks of them and to those who don't have. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those people, those mu'mineen, they are honored and glorified. And He says, وَالَّذِينَ يُصَدُّقُونَ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ, those who believe in the hereafter, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مِنْ عَذَابِ رَبِّهِمْ مُشْفِقُونَ, when it comes to the punishment of the Lord, they are very afraid. When Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, they asked him, what does it mean that they have in their money حَقٌ مَعْلُومٌ, that there's an unknown portion of their money that needs to be given? And he said, هو الشيء يعمله الرجل في ماله في اليوم أو في الجمعة أو في الشهر قل أو كثر غير أنه يدوم عليه. He said, a person, out of his wealth, whether it is on a weekly basis or a daily basis, weekly basis or a monthly basis, that he gives to those who are in need, those who are poor. And he continues on it. So in order for me to make this ayah fits me, I have to pray constantly and give to others constantly. Giving is against greed. Giving is against stinginess. Giving is a trait that Allah loves. Greed is a trait that Allah hates. We have to be among those who we give. If we give to those who are in need, if we give to those who ask of us, then surely we'll make the world a better place. If we become greedy and take from people, we will make this world a worse place. And this is what we see here today that we see so much greed happening in certain countries and certain systems and certain people, that one person has billions of dollars. He has money enough to feed entire continent 3, 4, 5, 6 times over. But yet, he said, it's mine. Now, if he and those rich give to those poor, then this world will be a utopia. But greed does not allow them. Those people are the worst of a humankind. Let us take a short break and then we will come back.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. We are talking about greed and greedy people. And the opposite, we have generous people, people that give. Those who are honored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, glorified by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have a lofty position in this world and in the hereafter. When people and individuals or systems give, they become the envy of others. They become something that other peoples look up to, or a system that other systems look up to. Why? Because they're helping humanity. They're giving a hand to humanity. Have you seen when sometimes a country goes through a natural disaster, whether it is an earthquake or a flood or a volcano or, you know, a devastating storm or a tornado, some other countries come to their aid. The country that gives the most, obviously, is a country that people will praise. Why? Because they were generous enough to help. The countries that give less or don't give at all, these are the ones that no one would care about and people would speak, you know, badly about. Same thing with human beings in general. When we see our fellow human beings in need, when we come to their help, to their aid, people will speak highly of us. I mean, not that we should seek this kind of talk. I just want people to think highly of me. But no, generally speaking, people will thank those who give. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment also will take care of those who give. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them, you know, whatever He has in His treasury, in His heaven, to them. Because they were God-given people. So if we look at the prophets and the imams, and the righteous people, they were the most generous. Even when it comes to them giving everything that they have. And they did. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He keeps that. He keeps that documented. Look at the Quran. Look at chapter Al-Insan. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Amir al-Mu'mineen, Fatima al-Zahra, al-Hasan al-Husayn, being hungry for 3 days. Every time they want to break the fast, a person would come, whether it's the orphan, the prisoner, and the beggar. 3 days they come. And every time they want to break their fast, the Ahlul Bayt, someone knocks and they give the only thing that they have to eat. The only bread that they have to eat, the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, Ashabul Kisa, they would give it to these people who are in need. And they will starve themselves for another day. 3 days they starved. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed an entire chapter dedicated to the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. A chapter that was read over 1,000 years and will be read until the Day of Judgment. It will remain eternal because it is the Word of God. That action of giving made these people eternal, made history speak about them. And even me and you, sometimes when we read history, we look at and we read the stories of those who were generous, even those who weren't even Muslims. But because they were generous, history kept their name. Like Hatim al-Ta'i, for example, he was known for his generosity, even before Islam. And until today, people speak of him. So giving makes this world a better place. Greed destroys this place, destroys this earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants me and you to be people of generosity. Thank you for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa alihi. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa alihi.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird Utilsat 3B and Iran Sat or Bat 5 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very noble and beautiful hadith which has been narrated from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. This hadith is about what happens when Allah wants good for his servant. Simultaneously, this hadith is also about the knowledge of religion. Because in this hadith, as you'll see, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he kind of binds these two together, he connects them. The Prophet said that when Allah wants good for a servant, he makes him proficient in the knowledge of religion. فَقَّهَهُ فِي الدِّينِ is the expression in the hadith. This means that he makes him very knowledgeable in matters of religion. In continuation, the Prophet says, and induces him to abstain from the world. Another sign that Allah wants good for a person, and he wants to, you know, give him good things, he wants to bless him, is that he encourages him to abstain from the world and the worldly affairs. And finally, the Prophet said that Allah gives him insight into his own faults. These are all kind of tied up with one another. When somebody has knowledge of religion, right, he understands the, you know, a part of knowledge of religion is paltry nature of the world, right, which leads to zuhud and abstaining from the world. And also, when we have knowledge of religion, we understand what is good and what is wrong, and then we can understand, you know, what our faults are and where our faults lie. And then, you know, following this, we can, abstain from it, those faults, and you know, in the future, and also repent from any faults that we might have committed from in the past. And, you know, this leads to our felicity in this world and in the hereafter. So in reality, the good that the Prophet is speaking about is, you know, man's felicity, in the hereafter and in this world, right? And these three things that, you know, he has mentioned are, you know, the causes that lead to that felicity and that good, you know, in this, in the hereafter and in this world. And, you know, the second two matters are a kind of offshoots from the first, but not necessarily, effects of it, because knowledge is not sufficient for abstaining from the world. It also requires, you know, ambition and, you know, willpower, right? But, God Almighty, He gives this to this person, who he wants to, you know, lead to, you know, good in this world and the hereafter. And this leads us to his sa'adat and his felicity. In a similar manner, the Holy Prophet also said, when Allah wants good for a servant, he censures him in his dreams. That's very interesting. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at what happens when Allah wants good for a servant. From the Holy Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Bring us out from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
Political violence in the U.S. has reached epic proportions due to the polarization in the country. One example, the U.S. President Joe Biden has accused his predecessor Donald Trump and his supporters of undermining democracy ahead of next week's midterm elections. Some Republican candidates have said that they may refuse to accept the outcome should they lose. This comes on top of the most recent act of violence against the husband of the U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, who was attacked with a hammer. How have U.S. politics reached a point where politicians are threatening each other and Americans are acting out violently?